to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Well, hey, it is nice to see you today. It is nice to be here. It's nice to be able to do this with my wife. This is my beautiful wife, Laramie. So you're going to see the two of us up here together for probably the next couple weeks, at least this week, next week, maybe the third week. We'll see. That's sort of the plan. So we're sharing out of the Book of Ruth is where we are. It's exciting. I don't want to say too much, but I just love hearing what God always puts on my wife's heart. So you're in for a treat. Let me tell you, you're in for a treat. But you know, have you ever had to make a decision, a difficult decision, that ended up surprisingly better than you expected? Any of you ever have to do that? And it's like, I don't know if I should do this or not, and you make it, and then all of a sudden it's better than you thought it was going to be. You know, if we could see the future, making decisions would be so much easier. That just is the truth. If we could see the future, we would probably make so many more decisions. But there's so many, I really wonder how many decisions, how many things I've missed out on because I was too scared to make a decision. I was too scared to move forward. I was too scared to do something. But so many times we don't make a move because of all of the questions of what might happen. Isn't that the truth? We worry about all these different things. We worry about how will it affect other people? What will people think? We worry, will they even still be my friends anymore? You know, like moving from jobs, we can worry if that has been such a close-knit group of friends. We worry, what will my family think? Man, there's so many things that can keep us from making a decision. These worries, they can freeze us. But you never know what your next yes might do. You never know. You never know the impact of your next step of faith might have on someone else's life. You never know if your step of faith is what God needs you to take to impact the person's life next to you, the person's life next door, the person's life that is at this job that you just need to say yes to. You never know what your next step of faith might have. Yes, you are risking much. You know, and as we're talking about relationships, the series is titled Relationship Status. And not this whole series isn't about marriage. Today's focus is more about that idea of sometimes in a relationship you unfollow. And it gave me a suggestion on somebody to be friends with on Facebook. Have you ever had that? And then you thought, I thought we were already friends. When did you unfollow me? Unfriend me. You ever have that? I mean, it hits deep. It's like, what did I do? That's real life struggles right there. But you see, sometimes even in life, in personal relationships, you have to make a decision and say, you know what? I need to change these things. I need to unfollow this so I can move here. I need to cut off this relationship so I can go and do this with God. And there are times when there are things here that you have to say no to so that you can say yes to this over here. But what if on the other side of the decision to take a step of faith in the unknown is a life you could only dream about? You see, many times it is in the unknown that God makes himself known. Many times it is in the unknown. It's in those steps of complete darkness that God makes himself known. So step out and see what God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning and for this day. Lord, we are excited for the baptisms, those people that are taking steps of faith today. Man, Lord, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Lord, because that's a step of obedience. So, Lord, it's exciting. Thank you, God, for allowing us all to be a part of that. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us, Lord, today, that you'd speak to us through your word, Lord, that you'd speak to your people at churches all over the valley today, Lord, whether it's Valley Life or New City or Gateway or Calvary Community or CCV, Lord. God, I just ask that you'd speak to your people. Speak to us at City View, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you're joining us online, good morning and welcome. And so we are continuing this series. Last week, we talked about how relationships are complicated. And man, that's true. Relationships are complicated. Whether it's husband and wife, friends, family, they're just complicated. And that's just the reality. And when we choose to make drastic changes in our life, and then people start noticing, relationships can get even more complicated. And then people can not like you. There's a gentleman who came up to me last week, and he said, Jeremiah, this was probably a year and a half ago when he made this decision to follow the Lord. Then he got baptized about 3 or 4 weeks after that. He goes, Jeremiah, the guys at my work, they literally harass me about being a Christian. He made a decision to unfollow a way of life and to follow God with his life. And he's asking me, how do I do this now? You see, when you make that decision to unfollow one way and to start following God another way, it makes it so difficult, yet it's so rewarding. So we're going to look at the book of Ruth. We're going to look at Ruth in Ruth chapter 2. And we're going to look at how she chooses God instead of comfort and safety. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Ruth, what did I say? Luke? Tooth, maybe? I don't know what I said. Ruth chapter 2, you see, when you choose to follow God, that means you will look different. You will act different. People will see you different. Sometimes when you draw closer to God, our friendships will change. But here's one thing that is definite. When you choose to follow God, you will change. So let's read Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech.
So here in this first few sections, this first few verses, we learn about this lady named Ruth. And we're going to focus on Ruth this week, and we're going to look at her next week, because really for any of you ladies, she is an amazing example of a married woman, a single lady, all those, or just a godly woman, all those different things. She is possibly the best example that we have in Scripture of a godly woman. Especially a single woman, and the choices that she makes to live a life that's different than anything that was common in those days. And the first thing we learn about Ruth is that she was a Moabitess. Now you may think, well, what's the difference about that? What does that matter? What was a Moabitess? Well, you see, the Moabites were that side of the family that you never really wanted to talk about. Do you have those side of families in your life? Those family members, those uncles, those second cousins that you're like, we don't really acknowledge them. Don't ever follow them. Definitely don't look at their Facebook posts because they're not appropriate. That was sort of the Moabite family. The Moabites, you know, when you look at the people of Israel, you had the people of Abraham. Everybody wanted to be from the people of Abraham. Abraham was God's chosen one. Abraham was the one that the Messiah was going to come from. Abraham was the one that everybody was like, if you even at one point had a conversation with Abraham, if you had an uncle that once met a guy who saw a guy who spoke to a guy who touched a guy who said hi to Abraham one time, you're like, yeah, I met a guy who knew a guy who saw a guy who touched a guy who knew Abraham. That's like you wanted to know that you had a relationship with Abraham. And then there was Lot that was Abraham's cousin. Lot was the guy that Abraham said, Lot, where do you want to go? And this is a story in the Bible. We can look at it later if you want. And Lot said, you know what? I'm going to go over there. He chose this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. You think there are some cities in the United States, like Sin City, Las Vegas, or whatever, that are bad? This makes Las Vegas look like paradise, like a good place to go. Sodom and Gomorrah was just straight an evil pit from hell. And Lot goes, I want to go there. So he takes his whole family. And then God says, this is a bad place. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to destroy the whole thing because this is just straight evil. And so Lot takes his whole family. His wife sort of gets stuck there. His wife, he takes his whole family. His daughters go with him. Everybody dies in that city. So his daughters think everybody in the whole world die. So his daughters, they come up with this great idea. Hey, we're going to sleep with Dad and we're going to have babies. Because everybody else is dead in the world. True story. That's weird. I know it's bizarre. It's super. There are stuff in the Bible that's just not, I don't get it. So they have kids. Well, the people of Moab were from Lot and his daughter. So that's Ruth. That's sort of Ruth's backstory. That's part of her backstory. They worship this god named Chemosh, this evil god that desired people blood sacrifices. And this is just one of many things going against Ruth. She was a widow. She probably felt like sort of somebody's leftovers. She had been married for 10 years and didn't have any kids. She probably felt barren, like, am I even worth anything anymore? She was poor. She had nothing to offer. She had a grouchy old mother-in-law as her tag-along, and they probably lived in a tent because they didn't have a house. She's not exactly the kind of person that you saw on The Bachelor. She's not the person that you would see at the end of the show that would get the rose. That's not who you see. Ruth is the person that everybody would look and say, I think our maid service, they need to go over there if that's even you. Or you're homeless. Or I think maybe that's Ruth. And that's sort of what the life that she had been dealt. And that's who she was. Lemmy, you had some insight on this.
When you said that, I just thought about how awesome it is that God doesn't see us that way, or maybe the way that we see ourselves. And she just had so much going against her. And she had so many excuses why it would have been better to stay in Moab and not to leave. And sometimes God is gently nudging us to do something that maybe doesn't make a whole lot of sense. She chose not to be a victim. She chose not to let her circumstances harden her heart and keep her from putting herself out there and doing what God called her to do. Even though she didn't maybe even necessarily know that it was him that was calling her, she just kind of followed the gentle nudging and did the next thing. And I think that shows that she was really brave. And she also decided that she wasn't going to just sit around and wait and see what was going to happen next and let life just happen to her. She did the next thing that was in front of her and, oh, I already said that. Sometimes before we're willing to step out in faith, we want to see that all of our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. And so we're sitting around waiting for all those things to fall into place before we'll be willing to make a move. And a lot of times nothing will happen then because God is waiting for us to trust him and let him do the work so that he's the one that can get the glory. And so Ruth was just learning all about faith. And I think when we're not willing to let God have the opportunity to work, then he isn't going to. So.
And so Ruth, as Larry said, had so many things going against her, and she could have just said, I'm not going to do anything. Excuse me, but what did she do? It says she went. Verse 2, she went to Naomi, and she said, let me go. She went looking for the favor of God. She didn't sit there thinking, okay, maybe God will provide this. Maybe God will provide a guy. Maybe God will provide food. She said, let me go. Let me go and do something. I think so many of us, we sit around waiting when we should be moving forward, and God will start revealing as we move. And it's not always, when you move forward, look at Abraham. Abraham, I mean, maybe some of you don't know the story. Abraham was told, hey, God gave him a son. I want you to go and sacrifice him. And Abraham went all the way up to the mountain, top of the mountain. And sometimes leaving and going and doing what God wants us to do, we have to be willing to hear the voice of God say, okay, now go back. And sometimes it's just a matter of step. And so Abraham went. And so she went. She goes, okay, I'm going to go. I want to go and find the favor of God. And so she went. And then it says she gleaned. She gleaned. Now, to glean means she's admitting her situation. She's admitting, I'm poor. I have nothing. I am a refugee in my land, and I have nothing to offer. She's admitting that this is me, this is our situation, and I'm going to move forward in it. She could have been like, you know what, I'm really pretty. I'm going to go see if I can find some guy that'll take care of me, and I'm just going to go do that. She could have done that. She was a pretty lady. We learn as we read through the rest of Ruth that she was an attractive woman, that she wasn't some nasty hag that's all bitter and like, you just need to forget. That's not what she was. She was an attractive woman, but she chose not to live off of what she looked like. She chose to live this new life that God had called her to do. She said, I'm going to go glean. I'm going to go pick up whatever was left over. Whatever people dropped on the ground, I'm going to pick that up for food. And whatever the harvesters don't take off the top of the wheat, I get that. I get the leftovers, and I'm okay with that. And then it says she worked. She worked. She didn't expect people to do stuff for her. She worked. And you look at verse 7, it says these guys, Boaz walks in and he notices her. That's how we sort of notice that Ruth isn't the normal kind of woman, that she had something going for her. And Boaz notices her. And Boaz is the owner of the land. He's a wealthy businessman. And it says, he says, who's this woman? And the guys in his field in verse 7 say, she has continued from early morning until now except for a short rest. She worked hard. Ruth made a choice to have a complete life change. You see, Ruth said, I'm not going to live this way of life anymore. I want to live for the Lord. And that's why you see she's not chasing after some man. She's not chasing after something. She's chasing after the favor of God. That's what she's chasing after. That's what she wants. She wants the favor of God. And she made this promise back in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death departs us. Do you have any idea all that Ruth went through to get to this point in life? The choices she had to make, the things she had to unfollow. She had to unfollow family that was unhealthy for her. She had to unfollow friends that were unhealthy for her. She had to unfollow gods. Now, she had to unfollow literal gods. There are gods in my life that I have to unfollow every day. I have to unfollow gods of envy and gods of jealousy. And I have to unfollow gods of pride. And I have to unfollow gods of shame. I have to unfollow those gods every day. It's a conscious choice that I have to make in my mind, saying, that's not who I am. I don't want that as part of my life. She went where it was uncomfortable. She went where she was an outsider. And she didn't even know where she was going to be staying. That's the choices Ruth made.
And because of her willingness to step out and do the next thing and to move towards God, he blessed her. And because of his namesake, he doesn't let the righteous fall. He doesn't let people who put all their eggs into his basket, he doesn't let them fall. But a lot of times when you're leaving the security of what you know is safe, it gets really uncomfortable. But it's in the unknown that God makes himself known.
So because Ruth made this choice, all of a sudden we see in verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, in the Hebrew, this is more like a tongue-in-cheek kind of comment. This is like a ha-ha, she happened. Oh, just by chance, or as luck would have it, or destiny directed us, or look at fate. It was sort of like, yeah, she happened. But there is no just happened when God is in your life. There's no just happened. My wife and I, we met in a college group. And it wasn't just by chance or it happened or, hey, by luck, Jeremiah went to college group that night, not looking for a girl or any of that kind of stuff. I went, and my sister, who was friends with Laramie's sister, and I didn't even know Laramie existed. I didn't even know my sister had a friend named Kelly. Kelly is the one that was up here singing on stage. And so one night, Thursday night, I go to church, and Jenny and Kelly run up to me, and they go, hey, we got somebody we want you to meet. They didn't even tell me her name. And so I go, and I meet this girl, which they didn't even tell me her name. I didn't know her name until after college group that night. Seriously, like, they go, hey, this is my sister. That's how I was introduced. And then Laramie immediately said, and this is my friend Jess. I'm like, I could care less about Jess. I want to know who you are right now. No joke.
Later on, I'm going to talk about baby steps of faith, too, and that was actually a big step in my walk with the Lord, was actually going to college group, because that was it my first time?
Yeah.
I think it was my first time, and I was really nervous. I had always been raised as a Christian, but I walked away from the Lord in the beginning of my college years, and so the enemy loves to make us think that we are the only one who has done what we've done or has the past that we have or whatever it is that we're struggling with. But I had just decided to get over what everyone would think of me. And it's so funny because nothing is ever about us. And when I got there, nobody had any clue about me. Nobody missed me from high school or anything like that. So nobody could have cared. But it's funny how the enemy likes to make us think that everything's about us. And oh my gosh. So anyways, that was one of the big steps that I was being brave going to college group because I didn't know anybody.
And then my sister kept bugging prowl, me. Checking out some new college girl. Man, when you really think about it, I'm like, man, I'm messed up. What was I doing? Because then I invited myself on a date that somebody else had asked her on. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go with you. Baby steps. I don't take baby steps. I'm like, go. I'm all in. That's how I go. I don't mess around. That really has nothing to do, but that was good. That's true, honey. You're full of gold.
It'll come together later on.
And so so as Ruth makes this step, all of a sudden, as she's walking in this unknown, God's revealing his path to her. And all she's doing is going to work. That's all Ruth is doing. She's going to work, and God is, like, revealing this path of his favor for her as she's just going to work. And with each step away from her past life, as Ruth takes each step away from Moab and to this field to work, God is unraveling his story. As each step. And as she walked to that field, she was unfollowing her past. As she walked to that field, she was unfollowing her past and trusting in God in this new way of life. And I'm sure it was scary, and I'm sure it was confusing, and I'm sure she thought about home, and I'm sure she had tons of questions. Have I made the right decision? But in the unknown, God was making himself known. And that's how God works. It's scary walking where you haven't walked before. It's scary. Many times you don't even know what you're walking into and why you're walking into it, but it was in that unknown place that she finds the favor of God. I have a friend, he was telling me how the job he had was killing his family. He was always away from family, he was always away from home, and it was just so much. And so he was going to take a job making significantly less money, but he knew this was the best thing for his family. So he was taking this step of faith. He goes, you know, I'm going to take this job. And so he went and he told his boss, hey, I was offered this job. He didn't tell him how much he was offered. He just said, I was offered this job. And his boss said, why? And he said, well, because I hate traveling. I want to be with my family. So his boss came back and said, okay, how about if I take away travel and we give you a raise? Okay, by taking a step of faith, all of a sudden, now God is providing him more money when he was willing to take less money. You see, when you start walking into the favor of God, God can start showing you things that you never thought he could show you. So in verse 10, as she takes the step and Boaz starts noticing her, and Boaz then blesses, and we're going to talk about Boaz next week. I can't wait. Boaz is a rad guy. It says, then she fell on her face and bowed before Boaz and said, why have I found favor in your eyes? That you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner. She gave up so much, but now she's seeing God answer prayer. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Naomi blesses and prays over Ruth and Orpah. But she prays this blessing that they would find men in Moab. Who knows that Orpah missed out on? You never hear the rest of Orpah's story. We don't know if Orpah, because she chooses to go back, we don't know if God had this plan to give her a godly husband, to raise up godly kids, and all of a sudden Orpah's son and Ruth's son are going to be these amazing guys that are going to help lead the people of Israel. We don't know. But what we do know is that Ruth gets to see the answer of Naomi's prayer. She prays that God would have favor on her, and all of a sudden, God is having favor on her. We see that. Ruth had no idea. She had no idea that through her, she was going to marry Boaz. I'm sorry for those of you who do not know the story. Ruth and Boaz are going to get married. Boaz is a stud. He is the coolest guy in the Bible next to Jesus. She has no idea that they're going to have a son. And she has no idea that one day, years down the road, she's going to have this grandson named Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that's going to call her grandma. She has no idea that her step of faith to walk in that field that day was going to reveal so much favor. But what if she had never left? What if she had let fear of the unknown keep her from taking a risk? She would never have experienced the favor of the Lord.
So I just want to ask you guys to, just during the worship team's coming up and they're going to sing a song, and it's one of my favorite songs. Talks a little bit about just leaving our little boat of security and stepping away towards the Lord. And so think about what your next step looks like. It's not meant to be a guilt trip. It's not meant to make anyone feel like they have to do anything. You know, God, our God's not a desperate God, and he doesn't need us, but he chooses to bless us by using us in his plan. And if Ruth wouldn't have been faithful to move towards the Lord, or Moses, or so many other people in the Bible that God used, God would have used somebody else. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on knowing God more. And I specifically want to talk to those of you out there who maybe have never even considered yourself as being worthy. Because for so long in my walk, I never considered myself somebody that God could or would use. And I want you to know that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says that we were created for good works, that God prepared beforehand, that we would walk in them, and that God specifically has things that he wants your life to do. And so you're missing out, but other people, the body of Christ, is missing out when we're not walking in those good works. And we don't even know what they are. God knows, but he guides us towards them and in them and through them. And it's true, that old cliche that he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And Ruth wasn't necessarily equipped. Moses wasn't equipped. He had a speech impediment. David wasn't equipped. It's just people who are willing to focus their eyes on God and who he is, and not on themselves and their own inadequacies. And he was calling Ruth away from everything she'd known and calling her towards himself. And that's what he's doing in our lives. And I think about what the body of Christ and the church could be if everyone was walking in the good works that God had planned for them. What revival we would see in our country and in our world. And who doesn't want to know God more? And I'm so honored and humbled that he would even call me to know him more, and that he knows me by name, and that he has gifted me, and that he wants to use me in his plan. It's so humbling, the God of the universe, and that he cares. And so, you know, I'm not here because I've done anything special or amazing. It's just, it took tiny little steps of stepping away from my security and just reaching towards the Lord. And even though you don't know what it looks like, he just guides you along and makes something beautiful out of your ashes. So I just ask that you would, during this song, just seek him and ask him, you know, what does my next step look like? Maybe, you know, you made your first step and you came to church today. Or maybe God's asking you, and you can hear his still small voice calling you to get baptized today, and to just show on the outside the decision you've already made on the inside. Or maybe it's to stop by a 7-minute party and just see what City View is all about. Or maybe it's to join a city group or host a city group. Or personally, I'm partial to City Kids because that's where I serve. And that's even was scary for me when I first did it. But you know, it's amazing to see God work in the lives of little kids and to get to be a part of the future of the church. And so whatever that looks like for you, you know what it is. You know what that little gentle nudging is in the back of your mind. But I just encourage you to trust and take that next step and see what God does.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media @CityViewPHX. Or go to cityviewphx.com.